Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 429. We are in the book of John. We will be beginning in chapter 3. We'll do chapter 3 and 4 today. My website, because of all the presence of other Pastor Steves or whoever, my website is https as in sugar :// www.pastor-steve.com. If you just Google Pastor Steve, who knows what you'll get? Probably not me. We're doing real well on the time frame on word for word here. I've got a lot of things I'm going to record because we're in September now, and in October is the Feast of Tabernacles, so I am going to be recording ahead. So all new shows will play through Feast of Tabernacles. I'll have them on the server, and they'll play while I'm gone. So that'll be something that's good. Not everybody can go away, but you can celebrate Tabernacles at your house. You can just put a tent in the backyard or something out on the balcony. The main thing is to observe the feast as is commanded. Let me clear my lungs here, and we'll dive right into the book of John, chapter 3. That's a little bit rough. Had a little congestion, not a lot. I've been working so hard lately that I'm finishing up. I have the last part of the book of Malachi to scan an OCR and then print out. And then the prophets will be done. That's the second volume of scripture. The Torah is available. The prophets will be available at the end of this week or so. I have to go get mail. I have to see if they'll fit in certain mailing packages because I don't want them damaged as they go out. But I'll be getting into the writings, which is Psalms and Proverbs and Chronicles and some of the other stuff, the smaller books, next year. I'm done for this year. I'm going to finish this up and get a bunch of them printed. And, boy, I've just been working. I'm a workaholic. Yahweh has blessed me with all kinds of energy and a love for the work. I really love what I'm doing. I want to get all the word for word series done. It'll give me more time for wake up call. I will have no repeats after that. I'll be doing all new shows because it'll cut three shows out of my schedule a week. But it's been a long road, folks. When I get done with all of this stuff, it's going to be a major accomplishment. And I'm still doing stuff with Eli and Professor Truth and Andy Hitchcock. And we're hitting the enemy every way but loose. And I like it. Hit him again. Harder. Praise Yahweh. Give me the energy, Father. I'm happy in service. But let's get into chapter 3 of the book of John. Please have something available to write notes. Not all of the books are absolutely loaded down with notes, but a lot of them are. And you're going to want to keep track. And whatever version of the Bible that you're using, you're going to want to look them up and get references. It's just part of the study. I'm going to be reading from the Scriptures, from the Institute for Scripture Research. They have the sacred names in here all through it, which will be used. And they have accurized the names of the people involved. That it's not like the King James. So if you hear something that's a little different, it's because it's the accurate name. Okay? they have done a fine job. They have only a few little things that I disagree with. They have the word Gentile occasionally, which does not belong in Scripture at all. So let's get into chapter 3 of the book of John. Verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees. Nachdimon was his name. A ruler of the Ya'udim, the people of the tribe of Judah in the area of Jerusalem there. Verse 2. This one came to Yeshua by night. In other words, he didn't want to be seen going by day, and said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, but he said, don't call anybody rabbi, but he did anyway. We know that you are a teacher come from Elohim, for no one is able to do these signs you do if Elohim is not with him. Now here's the famous quote that he gets wrong and has built a lot of doctrine that the Judeo-Christian churches promote, and they've got it wrong. They don't evidently read or study. Verse 3, Yeshua answered and said to him, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born from above," not again, born from above, "he is unable to see or perceive the reign of Elohim." In other words, you have to come from Elohim to be able to see the reign of Elohim. Those that are not of Elohim, the seed of the serpent, the devilish ones, they can't see it. They can't understand what Yeshua said. They hated him and they hate us. So there's the difference. There is a line. If you're not a pure blood Israelite, forget it. Sorry. Verse 4. Nachdimon said to him, "How is a man able to be born when he is old? Is he able to enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Now see, he's hearing again. He's not hearing from above. He's not of the flock. Verse 5, and for verse 5 you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 16, verse 13. 4th Maccabees 16, verse 13. Yeshua answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he is unable to enter into the reign of Elohim." Verse 6, "That which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit." Verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you have to be born from above." In other words, if Yahweh doesn't put the Holy Spirit in you, you're lost. That's the way it is. Verse 8. "The wind blows where it wishes." Okay, now the word for wind in both the Hebrew and Greek have the same underlying words for spirit, okay? Wind and spirit, ruach, okay? That's wind. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit." Verse 9. Nachdimon answered and said to him, "How is it possible for this to take place?" Verse 10. Yeshua answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know this?" In other words, he's a Pharisee. He doesn't know anything. He's a Pharisee. He's a fake, like a lot of them today. The fake. Okay? "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know this?" Well, they'd come to the temple to learn from these guys, and they were giving them Babylonian Talmudism. They weren't teaching them scripture. They were teaching them Babylonianism. Verse 11. "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and witness what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Of course not. He's not of the sheep. He doesn't get it. verse 12. If you do not believe when I spoke to you about earthly matters, how are you going to believe when I speak to you about the heavenly matters? And for verse 12, you can reference the wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha, chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. Wisdom of Solomon 9, 16 and 17. Here's verse 13. And you can reference Baruch in the Apocrypha, chapter 3, verse 29. Baruch 3:29 for verse 13. And no one has gone up into the heaven except he who came down from the heaven, the son of Adam. He's speaking of himself. Verse 14. And you can reference Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. That's Numbers 21:9. And the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verses 5 through 7. Wisdom 16, verse 5 through 7. Verse 14 here. And as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the son of Adam has to be lifted up. Now what does that have to do with each other? He lifted up the serpent because they were being bitten as punishment from Yahweh, and he made a bronze serpent and lifted it up, and whoever looked on it wouldn't die from the snake bites. And the son of Adam is going to be lifted up, so whoever looks on and believes on him, that's going to come in verse 15, will not perish in the second death. Okay, verse 15. So that whoever is believing in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. And belief, you have to do the belief. If you really believe, you'll do what he says. Verse 16. Now here we go. John 3:16. For Elohim so loved the world. The word for world is cosmos. Number 2889. Our word for cosmic and the cosmos comes from that. And it means the order of arrangement. Elohim so loved. And I will put it my way so you can, it's going to clarify it. Elohim so loved his order of arrangement. In other words, how he set things up. That he gave his only brought forth son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish but possess everlasting life. All right, everybody that believes in him of Israel, that's qualified later. I don't come except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is all a covenant with true Israel, not the Edomites or the Pharisees. Verse 17. I'll read it and then I'll give you what it actually... For Elohim did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay. For Elohim did not send his son into his order of arrangement to judge his order of arrangement, but that the order of arrangement through him might be saved the way it's supposed to be. Because Satan has perverted the order of arrangement with all the stuff that they're doing and mankind's gone along with it. Yahweh wants to preserve his method of the world, his order of arrangement, how it's supposed to be here. And Yahshua was sent to do that. He had a set plan for Israel. Israel had strayed and walked away from the plan, his order of arrangement for Israel. The only way to get Israel back in the order of arrangement, at least those who believe and call on him, would be through the death of Yahshua, followed by the resurrection unto life, the first fruits of the resurrection. That's his fix for the order of arrangement that he had established, that the devil and his children had perverted. Now we'll get into who they are in chapter 8, okay? But right now we're in chapter 3, verse 18. Now he's speaking of Israel here. He's not speaking of all these other ites, okay? Verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only brought forth Son of Elohim. What's that name? It's Yahshua. Yah is salvation, okay? That's the name. Who is saving us? Yahweh is saving us through the manifestation on the planet of this person called Yahshua, the divine being that came down to inhabit an earthly, fleshly man body that would dismiss his spirit when he was murdered by these antichrists, and then re-inhabit that body in 3 days and be the first fruits of the resurrection, promising us that if we die in him, we will be resurrected as well. Complicated a little, isn't it? So you wonder why these non-Israelites without the Holy Spirit can't see this. Well, I see this. It's clear. Absolutely no problem with it. But there are others that can't see it. All right. Verse 19. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, or order of arrangement, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were wicked. They had sold themselves into the devil's order of arrangement. Okay? Satan, the adversary, has his order of arrangement, and that's where the battle is. Column A is battling column B, okay? Here we go, verse 20. For everyone who is practicing evil matters hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. Ho, ho. Lest his works be exposed. Now, whose works are getting exposed today with the light of truth that's being preached out here? Whose works? Who is doing evil and hates the light? Who? What people? What ethnic group is doing that? Think on that one. Answer that one. We keep telling you weekly who's doing it. Do you want to believe us? Do you want to listen? Some do, some don't. Some don't want to hear it. They're gonna fight and go by the Judeo-Christian doctrine that they've had hammered into them all their lives. And they're going to stay with the traditions of men because they don't want their lifestyle interrupted. They love their stuff. All right, here's verse 21. But the one doing the truth, doing the truth, comes to the light, so that his works are clearly seen, that they have been wrought in Elohim. We don't want to hide anything. We want to proclaim Yahshua to the world. That's our works. And those works come from Yahweh. So we want to have the light shine on them. Look, look, look. Here's redemption, Israel. Come out from among those Judeo-Christian churches and practice true Christianity without all the lies. So that ends his conversation with this Pharisee. Verse 22. After this, Yahshua and his taught ones came into the land of Yehuda, and he remained there with them and was immersing. Verse 23, that's baptizing, baptizo, to be immersed. Okay. Verse 23, and Yochanan was also immersing in Ayin near Salim, because there was plenty of water there, and they were coming and were being immersed. Verse 24, for Yochanan had not yet been put into prison. Verse 24, reference Matthew chapter 14, verse 3. Matthew 14, 3. Mark chapter 6, verse 17. That's Mark 6:17, and Luke chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. That's Luke 3:19 and 20, verse 25. Then a dispute arose between some of Yochanan's taught ones and the Yehudim about cleansing. About cleansing. Well, see, look, this other guy's cleansing. Verse 26. And they came to Yochanan and said to him, Rabbi, that's teacher, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have witnessed, see, he is immersing and all are coming to him. Verse 27. Yochanan answered and said, no man is able to receive any matter unless it is given to him from the heaven. Those who are born from above, okay? Unless it is given to him from the heaven. And if you're not born from above, you're not going to get it. Verse 28, he corrects them here. He says, you yourselves are a witness for me that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. Verse 29, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. The bride is Israel, and the bridegroom is Yeshua. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the voice of the bridegroom. So this joy of mine is complete. He was proclaiming Yeshua. He was the friend of the bridegroom that he's talking about. Verse 30, it is right for him to increase, but me to decrease. Verse 31, he who comes from above is over all. He who is from the earth is of the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from the heaven is over all. Now he's speaking of Yeshua, the one that came from the heaven. Verse 32, and what he has seen and heard, that he witnesses. And no one receives his witness. He saw everything that went on in heaven. He saw the creation. He saw it all. He's with and part of the Father. And nobody, none of these people wanted to believe. Verse 33, he who receives his witness has set his seal that Elohim is true. They believe in the word of God. Verse 34. And for verse 34, here's a bunch of references. John 7, 16, 8, 28, and 40. John 12, 49, John 14, 24, John 17, verse 8. That's John. This is all book of John. 7, 16, 8, 28 and 40, 12, 49, 14, 24, and 17, 8, verse 34. For he whom Elohim has sent, he was sent, speaks the word of Elohim. For Elohim does not give the Spirit by measure. Verse 35. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all into his hand. In other words, he's going to be the king. You can reference Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. That's Matthew 11, 27. And the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 22. That's Luke 10, 22. Verse 36. He who believes in the Son possesses everlasting life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of Elohim remains on him. And what did Yeshua say to him? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? That ends chapter 3. You have to do it. You can't just say, oh, I believe. Well, the devils believe and they tremble, but they don't do anything. They don't do it. They don't follow it. You can see their works in the world. You can see the works of their children in the world and their devilish works. I mean, wake up here, guys. Wake up. I mean, it's not invisible. not invisible. They're blatant in their arrogance in these last days and all the nastiness that they're doing. Well, they show themselves. By their fruits you shall know them. Well, that's what they're doing. What can you say? That ends chapter 3. Let's get into chapter 4 here. Verse 1. So when the master knew that the Pharisees had heard Yeshua made and immersed more taught ones than Yochanan. Verse 2. Although Yeshua himself did not immerse, but his taught ones. So he wasn't doing the immersing. He was standing there, and his taught ones were doing the immersing, like you have a whole bunch of people that go out to baptize from a church, and they all go down in the river, and all these people come down in there. They got a bunch of workers that are baptizing. It's the act and the act of faith that is important. Verse 3. He left Yehuda and went away again to Galilee. That's Galilee. Verse 4. And he had to pass through Shomeron. That's Samaria. Okay. Verse 5. And you can reference Genesis chapter 33, verse 19. That's Genesis 33:19, and Joshua 24, verse 32. Joshua 24:32. Oops, I dropped something. So he came to a city of Shomeron called Shechem, near the piece of land Jacob gave to his son Yosef. Verse 6. And Jacob's fountain was there, so Yeshua, being wearied from the journey, was sitting thus at the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. Verse 7. A woman of Shomeron came to draw water. Yeshua said to her, "Give me to drink." Verse 8. For his taught ones had gone off into the city to buy food. Here's verse 9. Reference Ezra chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5, and Nehemiah, that's Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. That's Ezra 4, 1 and 5, and Nehemiah 4, 1 and 2. Verse 9, the woman of Shomeron therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Yahudi, ask a drink from me, a woman of Shomeron? For Yehudim do not associate with Shomeronim." And the reason for that was they had apostatized, and they weren't worshiping properly, and they had some mixing going on. Okay, verse 10. And you can reference Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, and chapter 17, verse 13. That's Jeremiah 2, 13, and 17, 13. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8. That's Zechariah 14, 8. And John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. That's John 7. 37 through 39. Verse 10. Yeshua answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of Elohim and who it is who says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She doesn't get it yet. Verse 11. The water of life, okay? Verse 11. The woman said to him, "Master, you have no vessel, and the well is deep. From where then do you have living water?" Verse 12. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Here we go. Here's the parable. Verse 13. Yeshua answered and said to her, "Everyone drinking of this water shall thirst again." That's because it was just water, okay? Verse 14. "But whoever drinks of the water I give him shall certainly never thirst. And the water that I give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Verse 15. The woman said to him, "Master, give me this water so that I do not thirst, nor come here to draw." She's still thinking about water. He's not speaking of water. Okay. Verse 16. Yeshua said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." Verse 17. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Yeshua said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. Verse 18, "For you have had five husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." In other words, you're just shacking up. You've been passed around, and now you're shacking. He knows all of it. He can just look at her and see. Verse 19. The woman said to him, "Master, I see that you are a prophet." Verse 20. Now she's speaking of the apostate worship where the golden calves were in Samaria. Okay? They had a second temple with false stuff there. Verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you," and it has people here, it means the Yahudim, "you say that in Jerusalem is the place where one needs to worship." That's where the true temple was. Verse 21. Yeshua said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Now here's a big long laundry list of references for verse 22. I'll read the verse, then I'll read the references. "You worship what you do not know." In other words, the golden calves, and just they were apostates there. They didn't know what it was. They just worshiped something. And that's why the Samaritans were shunned by the people in Jerusalem. So that's the deal there. That's the explanation. We worship what we know because the deliverance is of the Yahudim. Okay, now that verse, verse 22, reference Psalms 147, verse 19. Psalm 147, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 14, verse 1, and chapter 56, verses 6 through 8. That's Isaiah 2, 3, 14, 1, and 56, 6 through 8. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 22 and 23, Ezekiel 47, 22 and 23, Zechariah, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and chapter 8, verse 23, that's Zechariah 2, 10 and 11, and 8, 23, the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 20, chapter 3, verse 2, chapter 9, verse 4. That's Romans 2, 20, 3, 2, 9, 4. And the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verses 12 and 24. That's Revelations 21, 12 and 24. Here's verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father also does seek such to worship him. Verse 24. In other words, he's looking for the remnant. Verse 24, Elohim is spirit, and those who worship him need to worship in spirit and truth. Verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, the one who was called anointed. When that one comes, he shall announce to us all. Verse 26, Yeshua said to her, I who am speaking to you am he. Whoa. Can you imagine talking with this guy? Well, and he's telling you all about yourself, and he's never met you. And he says, well, I'm waiting for the Messiah. And he says, I'm him. Oh, talk about fall down. Just fell over. Verse 27. And upon this, his taught ones came, and they were marveling that he was speaking with a woman. However, no one said, what do you seek, or why do you speak with her? Verse 28. The woman then left her water jug and went away to the city and said to the men. Verse 29, come, see a man who told me all that I have done. Is this not the Messiah? Verse 30, they went out of the city and were coming to him. Verse 31, but in the meantime, his taught ones were asking him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Verse 32, and he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. The food of life. Okay. Verse 33, then the taught ones said to each other, did anyone bring him food to eat? Verse 34, Yeshua said to them, my food is to do the desire of him who sent me. That's my sustenance. And to accomplish his work. Verse 35. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and the harvest comes? See, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields. The field is the word, is the world. The order of arrangement here. For they are white with white for harvest already. Verse 36, he who is reaping receives a reward and gathers fruit for everlasting life, so that both he who is sowing and he who is reaping rejoice together. The truth of Yeshua and Yahweh. That's the fruits of the field, the holy field. Verse 37, for in this the word is true. One sows and another reaps. Verse 38. I have sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Verse 39, and many of the Shomeronim of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who witnessed. He told me all that I have done. Verse 40, therefore, when the Shomeronim came to him, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Verse 41, and many more believed because of his word. Okay, they had apostatized. Well, a lot of people had apostatized. And if they come out of the apostasy and believe on Yeshua, we're all right. Verse 42, here's the effect. Okay, verse 42. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said. For we ourselves have heard and we know that this is truly the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The world, the order of arrangement. Okay? The order of arrangement. What is proper instead of what mankind and the devil have concocted today. Verse 43. And after the 2 days he left there and went to Galilee. That's Galilee. Verse 44, reference Matthew 13, 57, Mark 6, verse 4, Luke 4, 24, that's Matthew 13, 57, Mark 6, 4, and Luke 4, 24, verse 44. For Yeshua himself witnessed that a prophet is without appreciation in his own country. Verse 45, reference John chapter 2, verse 23, John 2, 23. Therefore, when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the festival, for they also went to the festival. Verse 46, reference John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. John 2, 1 through 11. Then Yeshua came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Kephar Nachum. Verse 47. When he heard that Yeshua had come from Yehuda into Galilee, he went to him and asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. Verse 48. Yeshua then said to him, if you do not see signs and wonders, you do not believe at all. Verse 49, the nobleman said to him, Master, come down before my child dies. Verse 50. See, he didn't have to go. He just would say the word. Yeshua said to him, go. Your son lives. And the man believed the word that Yeshua spoke to him and went. Verse 51. And while he was going down, his servants met him and reported, saying, your son lives. Verse 52. Listen to this. Then he asked from them the hour in which he became better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the inflammation left him. Verse 53, then the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Yeshua said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed and all his household. Verse 54. Again, this was the second sign Yeshua did when he had come from Yehuda into Galilee. Boom. Just said the word. Go. Your son lives. Because he's Lord of the universe. And if it was just a mile or so off, so what? So what? He's the Messiah. He can do that. And that ends chapter 4 of the book of John. Now we'll get in on the next show. We'll start with chapter 5. It has been a pleasure reading to you today. I really love these words. There's just nothing better. So may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I'll talk to you again on the next show. This has been show number 429. I'll see you on show 530. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.